The housing market is hot. There are three times more buyers than sellers. It's more important now than ever to make sure you have your financing in place before you even find the house. Get pre-approved today at thehomeloanexpert.com. The Home Loan Expert LLC.
This is a Roundtable Rewind.
This thing is over.
Full gas. Full gas for you.
Full gas. This thing is over. We saw it last night. I thought Houston would get last night. That's why I thought this thing would go six. Golden State, their home court advantage is way too much. And for them to come in and dominate, so many different ways we can take this. But Houston stalking Golden State for the last couple of years, wanting to be in this situation.
Oh, they got there.
Yeah. Getting home court advantage and working so hard over 82 games to get it, and you lose it in 48 minutes.
It's almost like Golden State at the end of that game was like, that's what you had for us? All that talk about you want to be us, you want to beat us, that's what you had? You let us run you on your home court in game one?
Just so many angles to go, as you said, and we will over the next few hours. If you're an NBA fan, join the conversation at 834-9450. But you sit there and you watch Kevin Durant have a wonderful game. But if the few times you can cover up KD and he moves the ball over to Steph, and then you cover up Steph, and, oh, by the way, there's Klay Thompson, and there's nobody to cover him because you've covered everyone else, and he shoots 15 threes. Now, he doesn't make them all.
Yeah, 6 of 15, but yeah. Still, to get 15 looks, that's a problem.
Three of those rattled out that should have gone in. He should have been 9 of 15 from three-point land, which would have blown this thing out even more.
Right. There's going to be a night Klay Thompson's that good of a shooter where he goes 10 of 15 behind the arc.
Just so many weapons.
And when he does that, and you're right, I mean, you add on another, you know, 9-12 points. I mean, we already saw a 13-point win on the road.
You can't cover a 7-foot guy who moves like Kevin Durant. And when you do cover him, have Steph Curry and Klay Thompson, the Splash Brothers, who won their own championship without Kevin Durant over there. It's fun to watch.
It
and
is.
I'm glad I'm not hating it like I did early Patriots, you know, because I do tap the brakes here and try to say, oh, you got to play the games. You got to play the games. And I know it could come across like I'm a Golden State hater. I am not. I cheer for this team. It is fun to watch this team. It was great basketball for a while last night when Harden was dropping 40-plus and Kevin Durant was doing him. That was fun to watch.
It was. Here, if I'm a Houston fan, this morning is the thing that makes me want to puke. All right?
Yep.
From ESPN Stats and Info, how many points did Golden State have, Jim?
Golden State had 119.
They scored 54 points on uncontested looks in that game from ESPN Stats and Info. Think about that for a minute. They had 119 points. 54 of them were on uncontested looks.
Yeah, the crazy thing is we mentioned Durant, and Kerr said after the game he can get any shot he wants, which he can.
He can.
I thought there was, a lot of isolation plays for Durant. They went a lot of one-on-ones, but it was pretty good defense on a lot of those. Durant just made his shots. The other shots were the uncontested ones.
Yeah. I mean, there's no answer for Durant. I mean, you're right, Lance. You tweeted in the game it's going to take Mace or a crossbow to stop Kevin Durant tonight. And I think for Houston, that's probably the case the whole series. I don't know how they stop it.
No, they can't.
Here is the thing I really admire. I hope you guys do, too. I know you guys do. Hope the listener does. Steph Curry, who's a two-time MVP, I believe, gets the opportunity to guard James Harden or Chris Paul a lot last night. And there were a couple of times that Steph Curry was on the court. He had been crossed over or had his ankles broke or just was giving it his all defensively on a bad MCL. He was the target of the Houston offense, and I admire Steph Curry to humble himself, to be that guy to on a laterally challenged MCL, to not feel like I'm going to look like an idiot for trying to stay in front of James Harden, for trying to stay in front of James Harden and slow him down a little bit. I admired Steph Curry last night.
Well, there's not much he can do, Dunaway. I mean, he got lit up, and you're right. For after the game, for him to come out, he was a little humbled. And look, if this is what it takes for us to win the game, then this is what it takes. Look, this is a guy that did miss 6 weeks with a bad MCL. And when you're going against the best isolation player in the NBA, which is James Harden, this kind of stuff's going to happen. But, you know, a disturbing thing for the Rockets, you get 41 from your MVP and you still lose by double digits at home.
I know. I mean, and Jim's favorite NBA coach said after the game, and half jokingly, I guess we just got to get more out of James Harden.
Yeah, need 55.
Yeah. I mean, you cannot.
Yeah, I think James Harden gave you everything he had last night. So I don't know what you do if you're the Houston Rockets. And on top of all of that, it was very clear early on what they wanted to do with James Harden. Draymond Green's pushing him and getting a technical 2 minutes into the game. I mean, Golden State knew we got to get James Harden off the rails a little bit, and they really didn't even have to. Again, he scored 41, and they went going away.
So how bad is this for the NBA, though? And the reason I ask this question, it used to frustrate me as a Lakers fan in the 90s, the mid-90s, when I knew the inevitable outcome was Michael Jordan and the Chicago Bulls winning championships. This is the year a lot of people believed Houston would challenge Golden State. And again, Dunaway, as you said, we've still got a lot of series left. Based on what we saw last night, this thing could be a clean sweep. I think it'll go five. Houston's good enough to get a game, but I'll go from yesterday thinking it would go six to now it goes five. But as an NBA fan, inevitably knowing who's going to win the championship. And the other thing, how Golden State can go 7-10 in their final 17 regular season games, can basically loaf in the regular season and know in 48 minutes they can take back home court advantage.
It's insane.
Well, that's
frustrating.
Well, I think when you're that good as they are and you have that many weapons, you look for reasons to be motivated. And as you said, Brown, you had so much talking from Houston, so much build up to this game, this series, that situation with Golden State starting on the road in a rare road opening game of a series, that they were inspired last night. You poked the tiger and the tiger, okay, I'm engaged. Let's do this. And Houston had that for them.
First down.
Which of these SEC players who could go top 15 in this year's NBA draft has the biggest long-term career potential, or the longest, I guess you could say, career potential? Colin Sexton, Michael Porter Jr., or Kevin Knox?
To me, not even close, Michael Porter Jr. Got to make sure he's healthy, though. The back was an issue this year, but this is a guy that's 6'10 that can do absolutely everything.
Yeah, because of his size, and we saw so little of him, but he is almost in the Durant mold. Now, I'm not comparing him to Durant. I'm just saying, Lance, he's in that mold. Big guy that can handle, right?
Yeah, so most people had him the number one prospect coming out in this class, and obviously we got to see him, you know, for 3 minutes early in the season before he came back after the surgery.
Yeah, I worry about injuries with him. I did like the CBSSports.com mock draft of the upcoming NBA draft yesterday that had the Cavaliers trading up and picking Colin Sexton. Sexton going to the Cavaliers without LeBron James would not be great luck.
What terrible timing.
But I'll take Sexton to have the longest career.
Second down.
If you were in the situation, I don't know if you guys saw this story, but in the situation that Pirates pictured, Jameson Taillon he's got a finger injury trying to get it healed.
Yeah.
And they've recommended that people urinate on his finger.
Now, who is they that have recommended?
I don't really know, but somebody has. Well, and he said he's all for it.
Oh, wow.
So would you do that?
Moises Alou used to always say this, right?
It helped his blisters, right?
Yeah, and it toughens up your skin, your own urine. The whole everyone else urinating on my hand.
Yeah, pass.
I think he's missing the point here. He did say.
Was kidding, though. Yeah. He said it half jokingly, knowing that Alou had done it and there were some other guys that had done it as well.
No, I saw his quote, Jacob, that he would let everyone in the locker room line up, and if it gets rid of the blister. Would this is the question? Would I do it
if you knew it was the only way?
My profession.
So I guess.
So I wouldn't. I mean, I wouldn't let everyone line up to do it, but I would do it myself if it healed my hand so I could do my work.
So if you could have five great shows every week, but every Sunday night you had to pee on your hands.
Oh, 100%. For the show, I would do that.
See, I mean, I'd probably pee on my hand at least once a week anyway.
On accident. Yeah. But see, here's what I don't get is, how does it not callus? Like, look at these calluses I've got from gripping a golf club. What, Rockstar?
No, that's the point. That's why Alou used to do it. He didn't wear batting gloves.
Yeah, I don't wear a glove when I play golf.
So you need to start peeing on your hands.
No, I don't need it. I've got calluses. It's just calloused right there. I don't get blisters anymore.
It's the blisters that you worry about.
It's a makeshift glove.
Once it gets tough like that, you're good.
Yeah.
Apparently it works. The human body is an amazing thing.
It also helps for jellyfish stings, right?
It does. And I saw that in the Friends episode.
That's right.
And it does. It brings the team closer together, too.
Third down.
Aside from college football, what would you say is the most wagered upon sport in the state of Alabama if it's legalized sports betting?
Well, not even close. It'll be in the NFL.
Yeah, okay. Football.
Yeah, but I do think the NBA will get a lot of play in this state.
Yeah.
I was reading yesterday. I didn't take time. I didn't have time to read the articles, but I saw some tweets of headlines that a lot of the experts think it would affect golf a lot.
Well,
because you can bet like head to head, like Tiger Woods versus Phil Mickelson in that first round, or things like that.
Well, that's the stuff I enjoyed with DraftKings when we briefly had DraftKings was that
this
and NASCAR.
Is another question of mine, though. And you know, the NFL came out yesterday, or the NBA. It was the Spillane guy. And he said, without our product, you don't have anything to gamble on. So that's why, again, they're trying to get their piece of the pie. Well, golf, how do you do that? So every golfer is going to get a piece of this?
Yeah, yeah, it's a great question.
Lance, you're asking things that are making my brain explode. I would look forward to Major League Baseball. I heard Jock's Primetime talking about this last night, being in game. And you could bet on, does Jose Bautista go under the plate? Does he get a hit? Does he get a home run? You're able to wager.
This is
on
where
that.
It's going to be a problem for somebody like you, because you do have an addictive personality. And what they're talking about mobily is hooking this thing up like a la DraftKings or FanDuel. So everybody, every consumer, you'll have it right there at your fingertips where you can just run your credit card. And when you're sitting there between, you know, your 6 and 10, which I guess you won't have to worry about for a couple of weeks, but imagine the idle time you used to have. And if you want to bet in game and you want to bet on an at-bat, you'd be able to wager right there.
I'd have won big last night when Joey Bats hit that three-run homer.
Your Twitter friend.
Yeah.
Fourth down.
Better value right now. Speaking of odds, Tiger Woods 20-1 to win the U.S. Open, or Tua Tagovailoa 10-1 to win the Heisman this year.
Help me out, Brown. At the U.S. Open, there's going to be 25 to 30 really good quality golfers right there at the top, right?
If not more. I mean, 144 in the field, and it's all the great players from around the world, so maybe even be more.
Right now, knee-jerk, I believe Alabama's in the 14 playoff, just playing the percentages, and Tagovailoa, based on what's around him, I think he's going to have an exceptional year, so I think you get better value at 10-1 on Tagovailoa.
Chances that neither one of them happen, obviously,
that
is the highest.
Yes. I would
that's not the question, Jim.
It's a safer bet. I would take Tagovailoa.
Okay.
I think I would, too. Still not ready to say Tiger wins the U.S. Open.
Yeah. Why not have a window at a place like Buffalo Wild Wings, one of our sponsors?
Yeah, or Top Golf.
Yeah, wherever. But you, Lance, know about Vegas long before I did. They have a gaming commission set up out there. There is an oversight board that oversees everything that goes on, and every state will have to have those.
Yeah, so that's going to have to get passed. And again, so this has already been passed in Congress. Now you've got to have separate bills in states. So once a bill comes in Alabama and they pass it, then you can actually, I mean, you can have this thing up and running, you know, in days. But I don't even know when a bill actually comes into play.
I think Representative Rogers announced yesterday he plans on introducing one the next session.
But I don't think that's until February, right? The next session?
Maybe the fall.
You're a news guy.
It seems like it happens twice a year. They just finished one.
I've never been to one of the Native American casinos here in this state. Do they have sports books?
No,
they do not.
I wonder what stops them, because that's sovereign land, right? I mean, to a certain extent, they can do. I mean, what were their federal limits to begin with?
Well, there obviously were some, or maybe they had a deal struck with Las Vegas where Vegas was just like, you know, you stay out of our business.
I mean, I thought that was the whole point, right? Is it's sovereign land, and, you know, that's kind of our concession for taking your land, is we're going to allow you to have casinos.
Can you not expedite one of these bills, though? You mentioned February. Is there no way
to... Well, you could do special session. I would imagine if it were big enough, you would do that.
It's a special circumstance.
Yeah,
it is.
For instance, the governor of Alabama yesterday, though, did not want to comment on it.
I didn't notice any of the gubernatorial candidates even commenting on it. I looked on all of their Twitter feeds last night.
You don't want to touch the third rail yet, you know? You want to make sure, how's this going to blow first?
It's a pretty hot story. I would like to have seen one of them get out front just on their stance on it.
Yeah, I think there's just too many layers for any of these guys to say anything about it.
And it has been very confusing for a lot of people. And for us here locally, it's all about, you know, college athletics. Let's be honest. It's Alabama and Auburn and UAB. It's what we love. And I'm sure a lot of you are like me. The first thing I thought of was, how can this potentially hurt my college football enjoyment? How can this damage my college football Saturday? With all the positives that could come with making other things entertaining for me, what is already entertaining to me is college football and college basketball. how big of a risk is it to kill that?
Okay, well, what did you come up with?
That's my big concern.
Did you come up with anything?
No, I have no answers.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure there are concerns. I would love to hear some from our listeners.
Well, I think the guy from Lincoln was, you know, I don't want it to turn even into more
taxes.
Professional sports. I don't want it to turn into more taxes for me. You know, all of those concerns. If it lessens my tax burden or improves our state, then that sounds like something I would be for. But, you know, I'm more concerned, honestly, with my Saturday football enjoyment. And I know that's selfish. I don't want that destroyed.
I mean, he said he didn't want it to become minor leagues. It's already minor leagues.
Oh, it is. I don't want it to be destroyed, though. I don't know what that looks like. I just know right now I like the way it is.
I've never understood how players getting money is going to destroy that. Oh, that's what people fear, but I've never understood that.
I'm not fearful of that.
Yeah. Some people are, though.
We talked about what the roundtable would be like in the future. So this is the first time in 2015 when we went the roundtable 50 years into the future.
50 years into the future of what this show will sound like coming up on the Roundtable Vault.
The Roundtable Vault 2015.
Welcome back to the show. It's game day here on the round table. I know LT and Brownie are still holding on to Twitter. It like died 8 years ago. The new thing that follow us on is boing boing.
Wait, let me clean up some dead wood out there from earlier. I said I used a 5-iron on that eagle putt from this weekend. It was a putter. So my apologies to the caddy who keeps buzzing me.
Brownie had to find just one more way to say he got an eagle putt today.
What?
Putt.
Huh?
No, putt.
What?
Now, before we get to the pick three brought to you by Bailey's Rehydrating Pizza,
yo,
we always take time for LT to give us his lock of the day. Oh, been a rough week for the lock this week.
1-3 on the week, but don't worry, we bounce back tonight and make it right for the weekend. The Houston Astros are red hot, and they're playing the Cleveland Indians. Houston's ace is on the mound, Romeo Bertoni. He's pitched lights out these past few months and hasn't given up a home run this season. But I'm taking the do factor here and letting you take the money straight out of those layman's hands. Take the Indians, plus 125, and today's lock.
Did you say the Indians? The Astros are unstoppable.
Whoa, you want to put a stake on it?
You bet I do.
This stake bet is brought to you by Royal Betting and Pelham. Jim gets up to urinate 14 times a night, but he doesn't worry about it because he gets to lie back down on that two-sided mattress. Royal Betting, they make them.
Where?
And they sell them.
Where?
In Pelham.
Okay. We've talked long enough. It's time to take it to the phones. Brownie, who's been on hold the longest?
I can't see a thing without my glasses. The print is so small.
Let me take a look. Marion Hoffman. Larry, go ahead.
I didn't get the chance to give my best in work for this past weekend because you guys haven't been taking calls lately.
I can't hear anything.
My best is how much I enjoyed the Jocks the Game Day show with Joe and Saber Saturday.
Who's she talking to?
They seem to take more calls than you guys do. My worst is, once again, Cam Newton getting snubbed for the NFL Hall of Fame. I just don't think it's right that they won't put him in and they think that they can just tell Don.
We seem to have lost Mary. Tell you what we haven't lost. The calendar that reminds LT and I that it's truck month. When my grandson picks me up from work, He always picks me up in that impeccably designed Ram truck. It's an amazingly smooth ride, and that's good for me. Bumps in the road causes reactions in my slacks. Don't drive in a truck that hijacks your slacks. And after the break, we're gonna play the game, who coughed on this? Who cleared their throat in my soap? Yeah, and the Alabama quarterback situation. Next.
The Round Table Vault 2015.
Oh, back in 2015, looking into the future, and we sort of sound just like it.
Spot on.
Spot on.
Nailed it.
Kirby, Jimbo, and Pruitt, they all worked for Nick Saban recently. How long does it take for them to beat Nick Saban at their current job?
I think Pruitt is a long way away with Tennessee. Jimbo's closer with Texas A&M, but I don't have a ton of confidence. And the problem with Kirby, as I think it was Brown stated, we just don't know when those two are going to play. I'm going to assume it's going to be in the SEC championship game, and I'll just say it'll happen the next couple of years. So I'll go Kirby Smart.
But okay, 5 years, we'll say. That's what Chris Lowe.
I'll go 2 years. 2 years, Kirby Smart.
2 years for Kirby Smart.
That's what I did.
And in 5 years, do you ever see Jimbo or Pruitt doing
it? I got both of them doing it within a five-year window.
Pruitt will not. And I'll give Jimbo 1 and 5.
I put Pruitt at 5 years, and I gave Jimbo 4 years.
So Nick Saban's there 5 more years. You guys have just painted four losses in 5 years for him. Usually gets about 1 a year.
Yeah. Well, tell you, I gave him 3. And only 2 of those are regular season losses, unless they face Georgia.
Oh, that's right. It was in 2 years, Kirby. So you only have him losing once to each one of these teams.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't know about Georgia, but in that 5 year window, I guess you asked, yeah, I'd give him 1 loss to Georgia, and I think 1 loss to Jimbo. Here's the thing you got to think about Tennessee: what is Alabama's current winning streak on Tennessee?
11.
So if Pruitt doesn't beat him in 5 years, that's going to reach 16. Just historically, and I know those two programs are in different spots right now. There's zero doubt about that, but history is history for a reason, right? I mean, it you can learn a lot from looking at history. Can you see either team in that series going 16 straight years without a loss?
That just doesn't make sense. I know that series is a lot different than Florida and Kentucky, but what is that number now? 33?
Well, I mean, that is
34?
That is crazy, but like you said, those are two totally different programs. And historically, Alabama and Tennessee have been a lot closer.
Coming up in the 9 o'clock hour at 9 o'clock, and I bring this up because of Tennessee, interesting story from The Spun yesterday. They write, teams that have won a national championship in the past that never win a national championship again.
Ooh, I know what I'd say right away.
Is Tennessee on the list or not on the list? We'll talk about that at 9 o'clock coming up. Big news from the NFL today. They have sold the Carolina Panthers. David Tepper has signed a deal. At one point, the Panthers thought they would sell at $3 billion. It goes for $2.2 billion. So Tepper will pay $2.2 billion and keep them in North Carolina. They'll stay in Charlotte, according to David Tepper, who was a minority owner of the Pittsburgh Steelers. But he is planning on keeping the team there. $2.2 billion is what the Houston Rockets sold for. And so most people thought NFL franchise would go higher than that.
It seems like a lot of value, especially with the ruling yesterday, because you don't know what that's going to do for a franchise's worth. I mean, worst case, it stays the same. Best case, I mean, you know, this, as Mark Cuban said, you could, you know, double your team's worth right now.
Yeah, so he's buying in at $2.2 billion.
Seems like a good deal.
And he's a guy who has a pretty good resume. So we'll see if he cashes that in.
The guy that really is cashing in is Jerry Richardson.
Who's on his way out deciding to step down.
Yeah, I think he bought it. I'm trying to find this number, Dunaway, but I think it was $280 million is what he bought that franchise for.
As an expansion.
Yeah. I mean, think about that for a second. Yeah. What a turn on investment for that.
The folks in Carolina are really happy that Tepper is saying, at least at this point, he's going to keep him in Charlotte.
The record for the SEC teams traveling to the West Coast for regular season games over the past 20 years. I have a gut feeling it's abysmal. I don't have the record in front of me, but just off the top of my head, Auburn and Arkansas both lost at USC. Alabama and Tennessee both lost at UCLA. Tennessee lost at Oregon. I do remember Georgia beating Arizona State in Tempe.
I think Mississippi State lost at Oregon.
They got swept by Oregon.
Yeah. Yep. There was another one at Oregon.
I think Tennessee split at Cal, right?
Oh, yeah. I forgot Tennessee and Cal.
I think that was a split.
I'm going to say the SEC's record probably isn't great regular season at Pac-12.
No, not at all. That's, rarely do you have like teams playing each other, though. Auburn USC was the closest. And take away Carnell cramps, and that game goes in a different direction.
That was a tight game. That was Petrino's first game as coordinator, if I remember correctly.
If Carnell doesn't get cramps in that game, I don't want to go if Colt doesn't get hurt on you. Yeah. But if Carnell doesn't get cramps in that game, Auburn beats USC. College football teams. I mean, we all think about the olden days, programs that won national championships that will never be powerhouses again. Like Army, a lot of national championships, they'll never win one again.
No.
So you take them off the board, the Yales, the Harvards, and all of them of the world. The Spun gave us 9 teams that they say will never win one again. One of those is
9.
Yes, one of those is Maryland.
Okay, I missed them in my first pass, so I would add one more. 1953 for Maryland, yeah.
So Maryland.
Okay, that gives me 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
You okay on that list?
Yeah. Maryland is not going to win another national championship.
Hard to imagine now that they moved to the Big Ten.
That gives me 6 that I found.
They put Syracuse on this list.
I got them there. Syracuse was the – we're just going by the Associated Press here. The 1959 national champion, Syracuse. And they've had good teams since then, but nothing close to a national championship team. Yeah. Like, the one that Auburn tied in the Sugar Bowl was probably their best team since then.
Funny you say that. Syracuse closest, as they write it, the Spun. Syracuse closest shot at a national title – since then came in 1987 when the Orange went 11-0 in the regular season and tied Auburn in the Sugar Bowl. They finished 4th in the country. A lot of Syracuse fans upset with Pat Dye playing for the tie.
That's right. Game. They sent him ties, boxes of ties, if you'll remember. And they claimed that that could have cost them a national championship. I honestly can't remember who went on to win it that year. But that wasn't one of the – I mean, that was old school setup where –
87.
Syracuse had no chance that year winning the national championship.
87, yeah. I would guess Miami.
Yeah, it's a pretty good guess.
Do you not have it in front of you there?
Well, I've got it organized by team. Okay. Hang on.
And 87, it was Miami.
Yeah.
And they were unanimous.
Yeah.
Yeah. BYU.
I put them on there too. BYU kind of backed into one. As long as they are an independent, they're going to play big enough name teams – but their spot at the table is what's going to be tricky for them.
Yeah,
but
you just don't have the brand that you once had with BYU.
You've got to Notre Dame it up. You play a really tough schedule. You got to run the table or only have one loss, and they don't have Notre Dame's clout.
Nope.
To get into this thing like Notre Dame does.
And the one time they did it, it was a really weird year, and they ended up in the Holiday Bowl playing a good helmet. Bad team. Yeah. I mean, it was like a 6-5 Michigan team or something that they ended up beating.
5-5 or 6-5. Yeah.
Wait, for the record real quick, Brown, how many do you have on? I've got 7.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I've got 6.
Okay, here we go. Pittsburgh.
I put them on there as well.
I don't think Pittsburgh will ever get another
They've actually won 2. One was pre-World War II, 1937, but they did win under Johnny Majors in 76.
The great Tony Dorsett team.
Yeah, they're in the ACC, so they're in a good enough conference to do it. I just don't ever think they're going to get good enough in that conference to do it.
Okay, Minnesota is on this list as well. Row the boat.
Yeah, no chance.
Yeah, okay. I mean, people forget Minnesota won a couple, actually.
Okay, now they're the ones that are up for debate. Colorado.
No.
You don't think they'll ever win one?
No, I don't think so.
I didn't put them on my list as a no.
That was the one difference between you and I then.
Yeah, Bill McCartney, 1990, won it. It was an amazing rebuild to do it. It took a pretty unique year to do it.
I mean, Mike McIntyre had him in the Pac-12 championship game 2 years ago.
That was going to be my point.
But you were still 3 losses away from winning a national championship.
I know. I wouldn't 1,000% say no about Colorado.
Georgia Tech is on this list.
I think Georgia Tech still got an outside shot. I did not put them on my list.
Well, you know, one reason I didn't put them on my list is they didn't win the AP. The year you're talking about, they won the UPI, I believe it was.
That's
so
right.
So I was just going by AP. But I would certainly add them to my list. I don't think Georgia Tech will ever win another one. So you think they could, Lance?
I think they could.
Yeah, I do too.
No, I'd have them on my list.
I mean, Georgia Tech with one loss in the ACC, winning the ACC championship, can get in a 14 playoff.
And I think Colorado can too. with the right coach.
But Georgia to me, Georgia Tech's in a better spot right now than Colorado. Yeah,
absolutely. I agree. Michigan State is on this list.
You know, they've already been to the playoff, though, in the young. Now, they got drilled. I get that. But in the infancy, we're still in the infant years of the playoff, and they've already been to one playoff. So it's kind of hard to say there's no way they can do it.
How about this statement? I would be more surprised if Houston comes back and beats Golden State and goes to the NBA Finals than if Michigan State gets to the college football playoff this year.
So it's more surprising for you for Houston to be Western Conference champions than it is for Michigan State to be in the playoff. It's what
this,
you just
this
said.
This year, yes.
Okay. I probably am with you on
Mark
that.
Mark D'Antonio is that good of a coach.
Oh, Brian boy. We've just crossed streams here, Jim.
So you think Mike D'Antoni.
Oh, wow.
You'll be more surprised if Mike D'Antoni finishes the deal than Mark D'Antonio.
Very good, yes.
Wow, everybody give it up for Jim Dunaway.
The tongue twister of the day, yes. Yeah,
I needed to see that in writing.
Rock Star, did you see the look on his face?
The hamster was going haywire in that head of his.
Would you guys look
at see the sparks?
The Big Ten East is loaded, but would you kind of agree with me? And Michigan State, the momentum they had at the end of last year, and look, well, I think it was an outlier 2 years ago, the 3-9.
To me, this is more of a commentary on the Houston Golden State series than it is Michigan State. But yes, I do agree.
But I think Michigan State's top 10 team. I really do.
I know you do.
That's a tough division.
You don't buy into Penn State and you don't buy into Shea Patterson in Michigan.
No, I do buy into Michigan. I think Michigan's going to be better than advertised. I think I was the first to tell you that.
Yeah, I know. Lance is higher on Michigan than most people.
Then there's Ohio State. So,
we've seen the SEC West had 1, 2, and 3 in 2011. I'm just saying the Big Ten East is that good. It's by far the best division in football. And, you know, I don't think Penn State's going to be as good as you think they are, but I still think they could be 10-2.
And then the ninth team on the list from the Spun, that I wonder if they put this in here just to draw clicks back when they wrote this story. But they put the Tennessee Volunteers on this list.
I wouldn't put them on the list, but I don't foresee it anytime soon.
Tennessee's actually a two-time AP champion, 51-98.
I don't think we'll ever see it again.
More than that.
How about that?
I wouldn't say that. Our lifetime?
Yeah, I don't think we'll see it.
Dave and Wright, this is probably the most controversial entry on the list. The Vols have a great fan base and home field play in a Premier League and can recruit at a high level. However, they are in the same division as Georgia and Florida and play Alabama every year in a crossover matchup. We wouldn't hold our breath waiting for them to climb to the top of college football.
All I know is we're 38 years and counting for Georgia, which is a much better program. So do the math. That would put Tennessee at 2036.
But Georgia's a much better program right now. They haven't historically been a much better program.
My only comeback, my defense of Tennessee here would be was it 2010?
When they got upset by LSU.
Or 2013. When was Missouri making their run? It was 2013, right? In 2013, if Missouri had beat Auburn, where would Missouri have gone?
They would have played. Oh, yeah. They would have played for the national championship.
That's right. So all Tennessee has to do is what Missouri did. They have to have a Missouri-like year and win the championship game.
They're just so far away from that.
Well, what was the year? Was it 01, though, Lance, when they were in the championship game and Saban and LSU upset them? They play for the national championship if they win that one.
Right.
So they've been back close.
And that's when he had to use QB2 to win that game.
Yeah, it was a huge upset.
Still 17 years ago.
That was 2001, LSU 31, Tennessee 20. Matt Mauck was the guy that
I think we're putting a lot of stock in Jeremy Pruitt, a guy that is yet to coach a game.
No. I'm not even saying Jeremy Pruitt wins it. I just think a program like Tennessee
doesn't belong in this list.
Yeah, they'll eventually find high water again, I think. There's a team I put on there that they didn't have, but Tennessee is not that team.
Okay, which one did you put on
there? You know how I feel about this. I've talked about it as Nebraska. I just think Scott Frost will probably do a nice job there, but I do think the recruiting landscape in this country has changed so much since Nebraska was a national power. I just don't know that they can do it again.
No, I agree with you. I would put Nebraska on this list before I'd put Georgia Tech on this list. I'd put Nebraska on this list before I'd put Tennessee on this list.
See, I've got more confidence in Scott Frost just because the Big Ten, this is a situation you get to that game with one loss. I think Scott Frost would have an ability then to get to a 14 playoff. This is a guy that can recruit the West Coast when he was at Oregon.
We'll see.
UCF, I mean, at Oregon, Florida.
Yeah, in Florida he could, but can he get those guys to come to Lincoln, Nebraska to play? I mean, that's a hard sell, Lance. I mean, I know the guy's a good name, and he's recruited those areas, but he was recruiting West Coast to Oregon and Florida to Orlando. Can he recruit those types of places to Nebraska? You take Luganville's list of the 300 when it comes out, or 24/7 arrivals, or anybody you want, and throw it on a map, Lance, and see how many of those dots are close to Lincoln, Nebraska. It's a hard sell. I mean, I think this day and age, when your program is so far removed from that talent, it's really difficult now.
So does every team need a Draymond Green, Brown?
I think every great team does. I'm not saying you have to have a Draymond Green to win a world championship, but if you think of the great teams that have gone on runs, don't they all have a Draymond Green character, Lance? I mean, think back in the NBA history.
Yeah, but see, I don't think he's a character. I think he's that good.
No. I mean a guy that's willing to take a technical, shoving a guy to get in his head.
Yeah, I mean, even the Lakers in the run with Kobe and Shaq, they had a Rick Fox.
That's right.
So you do need a guy that will get under the skin, that will
do
the dirty work.
Saying. I mean,
as good as Draymond is, he does do the dirty work.
Now, some teams had
Lambeer, Rodman.
Yeah, I was going to say, some teams had a whole cast of them, like the Bad Boy Pistons. I think that whole team basically did that.
But Rodman they had with the Bulls, Lambeer with the Pistons.
Yeah, I think if you go back and look at teams that have gone on runs like this, they've all had that character basically since the 80s. It kind of started in the 80s.
It's basketball's version, Brown, of having an enforcer on defense in football.
Yeah.
You know,
a headhunter in the secondary.
Exactly, or a linebacker that can deliver hit or a big sack. This is the basketball version of that linebacker defensive end that comes off the edge.
I know what you're saying, Lance. Draymond Green is probably more skilled than any of these guys we've mentioned. I mean, he's a more skilled player than Dennis Rodman. He's a more skilled player than Rick Fox. I give you that. But I'm just saying, it seems like all these great teams have a guy that is willing to go out there and try to get under the skin of the other team's great player and try to get him off track just a little bit. And it was obvious that's what he was doing.
I'm trying to think, who was that guy with the Bulls? With Michael Jordan.
Well, it was Rodman.
But I mean, Rodman wasn't with all those Bulls teams.
No, he wasn't.
You know, early on, it may have been Horace Grant a little bit. He was
Cartwright.
A physical player.
I mean, I think the great teams have a guy with that edge.
And I don't think it's necessarily basketball oriented. There's always,
yeah, I agree.
There's always that hustle guy in baseball that does that little extra thing brings a team together. I think Draymond is that guy that sort of sets the tone for what seems to be a finesse team.
He set that technical. I mean, I just think it was so predictable that the minute he had a chance to go chest to chest with James Harden, he made sure he got a technical out of it. And I mean, Draymond acted all upset. But let me tell you, did you guys think that was an illegal screen that he got called on, or was that Draymond's reputation catching up with him? I mean, it was a brutal screen. There's no doubt.
Might have been a combination of both.
But, I mean, he wasn't real. I didn't think he was moving. I thought he was stationary. It was a brutal screen. It was a blind shot, basically, an ear hole.
Greg in Pell City next with us on the phones, 834-9450. Hey, Greg.
Hey, guys. I know one team that needs one. That's Toronto.
Yeah,
that's a great point.
They could use a Draymond Green, somebody to bring some edge.
Yeah, if they had someone that would have just really – intentionally, within the rules, I guess, even if you got a T, took out LeBron, I mean, very hard, that whole series could have changed just from because LeBron owned them mentally. And I was about to say, when you're talking about the Bulls before Rodman, Jordan was kind of the guy because he just mentally had such a I don't know if you remember a few times the Knicks tried to get in, what was it, McDaniel or somebody tried to get in Pippen's face, and you saw Jordan step and put his finger in his face. And when Jordan wanted to, he was the one for the Bulls early on. But really, I wanted to ask you something, man, get y'all's opinion. I was watching that game last night, and if you really try to look at the – everybody loves to look at – the history and the Bulls, you know, I was a Bulls fan. And I think sometimes we make teams greater or things better than what they actually were at times. I don't think the Bulls really stand a chance against this Golden State team.
Oh, I would agree with you.
You mean the Jordan Bulls?
Yeah, I think it's a 5-game series, 6 at best.
And I'm wondering if this is really good for the NBA because I know I was kind of part of it a little bit with Cleveland, I'm watching that last night. There's nobody going to beat this team unless somebody gets there's no way Cleveland should win that championship they did. I think if Green doesn't get suspended, it's going to take something crazy like that to get. But I'm just wondering if it's really good for the game because you sit in one of two areas. You're either a fan of the team, which is fantastic. You know, you're having an awesome NBA life, or you're a fan to get them beat. And I'm watching Houston last night, And Houston just looks like they have nobody but two people that can do anything. I think the Eastern Conference champion will have a better shot to dethrone them, even though I think it'll still go five or six. But is it good for the league, you think?
I don't think so, Greg. And I think that's what's great about some of these other leagues, and specifically the NFL, is once we get to the postseason, we really have no idea what's going to happen. And if I'm even a Golden State fan, it bothers me that this team can lay down like they did at the end of the season. And I know they didn't have their starting five, but to go 7-10 down the stretch, and we know how good they actually are, it's like they don't want to start playing until they get to the postseason.
Last night, being on the road was a little motivation. And if you saw Shaq and Barkley afterwards on TNT, they were sort of depressed a little bit, let down, because they were hoping this was going to be a great Western Conference Finals. I thought they reflected what a lot of fans did that tuned in last night, hoping for this to be a Houston win, so you feel like you would have a series.
Yeah, you felt like they needed to get game one. And at least, I mean, they've lost home court right away. And you know how good Golden State's home court is. And that's
the thing.
They've
won 15 straight in the postseason at home.
So Jordan's Bulls teams versus this Golden State Warriors team, who wins it in how many games?
Golden State, five or six.
The one thing you would have to consider is Jordan, whichever one they put him on, Thompson or Curry, he takes them right out of the game. So you would lose one of those two guys.
That's fine. McCurry was pretty much out of the game last night.
He was, but it's still Durant, isn't it? Those old Jordan Bulls, they didn't have a matchup for Durant.
No idea what they would do.
Yeah. I mean, I guess you could try Jordan on him, but there's such a height difference.
You'd put Rodman on him.
Yeah, you'd have to.
Defensively, it'd be Rodman.
I think he'd eat Rodman's lunch. He'd draw Rodman away from the basket a lot.
Yeah, I mean, old school Jordan backers, Bulls backers. I mean, if they really watch the game, there's no chance that those Bulls beat these Warriors.
You wouldn't want Rodman away from the basket that much is the problem.
What do they do defensively with Pippen?
I mean, Iguodala could play Pippen. I don't think that would be a problem.
Pippen would have
Steve Kerr, and Steve Kerr knows all the secrets.
That's a good point.
Pippen would
Clay's probably going to shoot here.
Field day driving the basket.
Clay Thompson could play Pippen.
No, Pippen would drive the basket all day long.
I know you don't think the Bulls would stand a chance against this Golden State team.
I think they would. I think they would. 90s Bulls would stand a chance against. So you're saying this Golden State team is one of the best, if not the best, in the history of the game?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I would agree
Easy.
With Lance. I would agree.
I mean, those Bulls teams, they struggled against
Magic's Lakers.
Could the Dream Team beat them?
As good as Magic's Lakers were, and I think Magic's Lakers would have beaten the Bulls in the 90s, I don't think that they would beat this team, no.
Magic, Kareem.
Worthy. Byron Perkins, Scott. Byron Michael Scott. Cooper. No.
Oh, I disagree. I think the Lakers would beat this Golden State team.
The housing market is hot. There are three times more buyers than sellers. It's more important now than ever to make sure you have your financing in place before you even find the house. Get pre-approved today at thehomeloanexpert.com. The Home Loan Expert, LLC.